GodTalk.com.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning. Welcome to God Talk. Today I'd like to talk about a subject that really is close to my heart, one with which I've had my struggles, but boy, I guess I'm in a better place now. And I hope to get you maybe a little closer if you're not already in a pretty good place. I want to talk about gratitude. Gratitude is so fundamentally important. You know, gratitude is an attitude. First, we form our attitudes, and then they form us. An attitude is a way of thinking, feeling, acting towards something or someone. So, for example, we probably have an attitude toward certain kinds of food, let alone certain kinds of people. I've got an attitude, for example, toward peanut butter, which generally is very positive. Gratitude really needs to be a perpetual attitude toward God. Gratitude toward God in response to God's grace and graciousness toward us. The best brief definition I've ever heard of the connection between gratitude and mercy is this. Gratitude is when we get what we do not deserve. Mercy is when we get, or when we do not get what we do deserve. Let me say that again. Gratitude is when you get what you don't have coming, okay? Come on. And mercy is when you don't get what you believe and may well have coming. It's important that gratitude and grace, those two significant words in our vocabulary and our relationship with God, share a common root in Latin, gratis, which means simply pleasing. Pleasing. And grace really is derived from a connected word that means favor. So when you think about it, one could say that gratitude is our being pleased with God's graciousness toward us, and grace is God's favor for whatever mysterious reason, which we're never going to figure out, to love us, to save us in Christ. You need to start each day with the realization that everything, I mean everything, is in reality a gift, beginning with your very life, your soul. God did not have to create you. You weren't already there demanding to receive a body or to be at all. Rather, God chose to create you and to favor you with many blessings. And even your suffering has the profound benefit of teaching you about life, maturing you, learning about the nature of good and evil through direct experience. As the poet says, Khalil Gibran, pain is the crackling of the shell that surrounds your understanding. Wow. Not that we want to go through it, but we sure do learn. I recently had a conversation with an amazing woman of the Spirit, who's also an extraordinary spiritual writer. I went to see her to talk with her about a book that I had just completed titled The Heart of Jesus, The Forgotten Prophecies. It's something I'll tell you about sometime here in the near future. She was very supportive of my efforts. And then she told me out of the blue to do something every morning. She said, every morning, Hal, I want you to hold your book close to you in spirit and slowly say three words. Three words. Meditating on each of these words as you say them. And then she leaned forward, and her eyes brightened, and she said, "Gratitude, intention, and surrender. Gratitude, intention, and surrender." Now, I have to tell you, I've done that every morning, and sometimes more than once a day, for more than a month now. And it really has made a difference for me. You know, you could do that every morning about your life, about your soul, about whatever is precious to you. You can hold it close to your heart and say those three words slowly, meditating, reflecting on each word. Gratitude. Gratitude. Thank you, God. Thank you for the good, for being it all, and the gifts, countless gifts. We'll come back to that. And then when you get to intention, this is interesting. When she said intention, I thought initially, you know, what was my intention in writing the book? What is it I want to see happen? But as I meditated on it, I realized, no. That's not really the major central issue. It's God's intention. What does God intend, hopefully, to happen on the basis of that book? So you could say your own intentions beginning, you know, your own intentions for your life, then sooner or later you can focus, okay, God, what is your intention for my life? What is it that you've sent me here to do? What difference am I here to make? Oh, Lord, give me insight, give me direction into your divine intention. And then for me, anyway, when I got to that point that I'm reflecting on God's intention, then I surrender to it. Lord, thy will be done. Surrender. Yield to God's intention for your life. That really has given me great peace. Wow. Try it. I tell you, it works. There's some beautiful scripture about giving thanks. One of my favorites, the first time I read this was shortly after God had pretty much saved my life, way back in my early 20s. He'd come and touched my life in a way that I needed to have it touched. I don't know what I would have done. And I've known many people over the years who also have been blessed with that sense of the nearness of God in a way that opened their lives to greater appreciation and gratitude. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, wow, to those who've gone astray after false gods. Like wealth and the things of this world, frankly. Wow. And from 1 Thessalonians, the words of Paul, rejoice always, 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Corrie ten Boom wrote a book about the power of thanksgiving that had a real impact on my life decades ago. The importance of giving thanks regardless. And somehow God will follow through with what's promised in Romans 8:28. God will work good from everything that comes our way. Okay. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Great words. And I love that benediction. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Let the love of God come in with gratitude, which opens us to receive that extraordinary caring. Well, you know, talking about the power of gratitude, there's been a whole new area within the field of psychology in the last decade or more about the importance of gratitude. It's called positive psychology. You know, so much of psychology for more than 100 years now has been looking at pathology. What's wrong, like the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, the bloody MMPI that looks for pathology, and it's going to find it somehow. Just the questions are weighted, so it's all about what's wrong, okay? What's right actually matters every bit as much. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others, said Cicero, the great Roman orator. Surely all of us can remember times in our lives when we've expressed heartfelt thanks to others for gifts of time and effort. Being grateful feels good. I remember expressing gratitude to Mrs. Gutschmacher. Who? She was my fourth grade music teacher at Windsor Elementary School in Des Moines, Iowa. She was the first person who believed in me as a singer, that I could carry a tune, and she told me to do harmony. Just do, what do you mean? Just, you could do a howl, just, you know, listen and harmonize. And there we were in the choir, and she just gave me that freedom, and I would harmonize, just sort of trying it out. And she'd look at me sometimes and smile, and I felt, oh, gosh, I guess I'm doing it all right. Fast forward 25 years. I was now the new associate at the Downtown Methodist Church in Des Moines, a large church. And my first Sunday there was a long receiving line of people, you know, welcoming me and my wife to the new parish. I looked down, and there was Mrs. Gutschmacher. I just knew it was her immediately. I just waited excitedly for her to get up so I could shake her hand. And I said, Mrs. Gutschmacher, you no doubt will not remember me, but you were my fourth grade music teacher, and you were the first person who believed in me as a singer. And I did become a singer, and I owe you so much for believing in me. Thank you. You should have seen the smile on her face, and how good I felt in having that moment just to express gratefulness, gratitude. Robert Emmons, who's a leader in this gratitude research, defines gratitude as the feeling that occurs when a person attributes a benefit they have received to another. Feeling grateful has real psychological benefits. Feelings of gratitude are associated with less frequent negative emotions, more frequent positive emotions, like feeling energized. It's an energy producer, alert, enthusiastic about your life. There's evidence that gratitude is also associated with pleasant physical sensations. One study found that people experienced pleasant muscle relaxation when recalling situations in which they'd felt grateful. It is apparent that the mere act of giving thanks can have a remarkable impact on your sense of well-being. Isn't that interesting? Let's think about that as we take a brief break for the weather.
Wake up with KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1, your partner in agribusiness.
Is your garage door on the fritz? Do you need an awning or new windows? Contact me, Dan Clark, at Dan's Advanced Awnings, Windows, and Garage Doors on Facebook or at 563-263-7551. I have been providing reliable service and fair prices since 1982.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Overcast today with daytime highs approaching 44. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 35 tonight, overcast skies. Tomorrow, highs around 42. Chance for mixed precipitation Tuesday and Wednesday, 44 Tuesday, 40 Wednesday. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Proud to be the radio station you come home to. This is KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Okay, we're back. Taking time, for example, just give me some examples of gratitude. Taking the time to appreciate your mother for all the care she provided for you growing up, or your father. Reconnecting with an old friend to express your gratitude for always being there for you. Seeking out and thanking a favorite teacher, like I did with Mrs. Gutschmacher, who helped you grow. Specific acts of gratitude can have, as I say, a variety of positive consequences. But what about people who are more grateful by nature than others? You know, gosh, like flowers, butterflies, birds. Grateful people tend to be more spiritual than their less grateful counterparts. People who are generally grateful report being more agreeable, less narcissistic, you know, self-absorbed, self-obsessed, compared with less grateful people. People who are more grateful also report being happier. That's just the way it is. There are interpersonal benefits associated with gratitude as well. Feelings of gratitude are connected with increased feelings of closeness and a desire to build or strengthen relationships with a benefactor, someone who's helped you, someone who's there for you. Acts of gratitude prompt us to admire good characteristics of other people. Doing so encourages us to become closer to them. It has the added benefit of improving your mood, reflecting upon the good mother and what she had done for you. Can elevate your moods. If you would just remember a time when another person had assisted you in some exemplary way. And it can be very small things. Let me give an example. You know, some time ago, I like to go to Aldi's. They have great fruit there, among other things. Anyway, this was some time ago. You know, you have to put a quarter in this little slot in order to get your cart. So I was walking over with a quarter in hand. Someone came out of the store and brought his cart over and said, "Here." I said, "Well, let me give you the quarter." He said, "No, pass it on." I felt really grateful. I thought, what a great idea. Playing it, paying it forward, passing it on. And so that's what I did when I left the store. Someone was coming in with a young child. And I said, "Here." She said, "Well, let me give you a quarter." No, just pass it on. And I do that pretty much every time I can when I go to Aldi's. Those little expressions of reaching out and caring to do brook gratitude. And in addition, an act of contemplating times in which another person has helped you can result in a desire for being a better person, helping others, paying it forward. In short, it appears that being grateful can actually encourage you to do something good for another person, that whole passing it on. In other words, gratitude might have a really important benefit to society as a whole. Here's a summary from Dr. Emmons. It has become clear that there are a number of advantages associated with being grateful. Among other things, grateful people are happier, have stronger feelings of social support, and feel less stressed and depressed. As being grateful has so many positive attributes, it seems that intervening to increase people's levels of gratitude may be a good way to increase their feelings of well-being. Yeah. Help another, you feel better, even if it's connecting with the cashier at a grocery store, as I try to do. I like to connect to people in a positive way. In sum, here's what giving thanks gratitude accomplishes. One, it unlocks and unleashes a kind of spiritual energy, which cannot be accessed other than by means of giving thanks. The end result, a state of gratitude or gratefulness, which promotes peace, calmness, and even life satisfaction. Two, gratitude opens the heart and mind to the present and the world around you. Gets you right here and now, rather than somewhere in the past or somewhere in the future. Third, it tenderizes the heart and prepares it to receive joy and risk love. It does good things to your heart. Four, it generates the sense of personal well-being and that things are as they should be, that ultimately everything is or will be all right. Five, it spurs on and strengthens faith and hope. Six, it diminishes boredom, cynicism, and skepticism. Negativity, blah. And seven, it alleviates depression, suffering, and burnout. Burnout, which is so often connected with feeling useless or ineffective. So when there's gratitude, it's the opposite. Now, there are times when it is most difficult to feel grateful or thankful due to life having dealt you a painful situation. Been there, done that. But you can still give thanks by word and deed. It is the giving of thanks and its aftermath which will actually generate gratitude. In other words, you're being pleased by what you did, as well as what you have. And there is no greater antidepressant than doing a good deed for another, even if it's giving them a shopping cart. Any gratitude they might express would only make you feel all the better. We're here to make a difference, even in a little way, in the lives of others. And sometimes, unbeknownst to us, we may make the difference in the life of another. I told that recently to a doctor after a group of us had lunch and he was going back to his practice, and I said, "You're going to make a difference to others today, and maybe going to make the difference." And he gave me a big smile. So, for what are you grateful? For what can you give thanks today? Do you do so every day? If not, what holds you back? Unfortunately, I'm one who tends to focus more on what I do not yet have than what I already thankfully possess. I treasure passion and desire in my life as they've kept me fully alive and functioning. Each morning I think first of what it is I want to accomplish that day, seek to do before giving thanks for my many blessings, for loved ones, and physical and material well-being. But I think I'm getting better at that. I'm reminded of the great psychologist Abraham Maslow, who really had an effect on my life in his writing. And he discovered, he had a terrible heart attack he nearly died from, and he discovered upon his release from the hospital and his return to his life how meaningful it all is. And he said this, that as I've held this close and I've said this so many times to people, and just take this in if you've not heard it before, or if you have, take it in again. We tend to overvalue what we do not have and undervalue what we do have. We tend to overvalue what we do not have and to undervalue what we do have, like health. The other day I dropped something in the gym. I was walking out, and I just reached down and picked it up off the ground, and a guy behind me, my age or older, said, "Wow." He said, "If I would have done that, I would have passed out." He said, I can't just go down like that to pick something up. And I thought, oh my God, thank you, God, that I'm able to do that. You don't think about that until you don't have it. Grateful to be alive, Maslow realized with the force of revelation, and wrote beautifully about this, by the way, just how seriously he had undervalued, taken for granted, his prior health and relationships. He recognized how profoundly important were his wife and his children. He marveled now at the beauty of nature and the inherent gift quality of daily life. He finally understood that everything in life is a sheer gift, from his body to his relationships. For the rest of his life, he never forgot these lessons, but he went on to help many others to recognize the myriad of gifts that life offers us, that God gives us, if we're just awake enough to see the grace all around us. Why do we spend so much time criticizing something for what it is not, rather than giving thanks for what it is? Oh, boy. Everything is a gift from the unknown giver, from God, meant to be received and blessed by our very pleasure that we take in it. Look first for the good. Give thanks for what it is and what it offers. The ancient rabbis had a doctrine called sufficiency. Sufficiency. This is interesting, which applies here. The main idea is this: whatever good life offers you is actually sufficient for your needs. It may not be sufficient for all you want, but it is definitely sufficient for your actual needs. The writer Oscar Wilde maintained that the two worst tragedies in life are these: either not getting what you want or getting what you wanted. Although meant humorously, there's a lot of truth there. So few of us get everything we want, but surprisingly, most all of us get what we need. And getting what you think you want may actually not be what you really need. Could be the worst thing to happen to you. Now, as difficult as poverty is, I've spent time in Mexico, and I tell you, those folks amaze me with their simple joy in the sufficiency model of life. While still wanting, of course, and striving for more, they nevertheless learn to be thankful for what they do have, especially their family and friends. Okay, so here are some suggested gratitude practices. If you want to do this, it works. Take time each morning to give thanks for something. So for me, in my morning prayer and meditation, I practice gratitude, intention, and surrender. You could start a gratitude journal daily, writing one thing. Oprah does that, for example, she has said. Paragraphs she writes every day, what she's grateful for that day. Practice giving thanks and noting reasons for gratitude every day. Don't pass up an opportunity to give someone thanks or to express gratitude. Express gratitude and thank you at every reasonable opportunity. Note the positive impact on your life, health, and relationships, and sense of well-being comes from just acts of gratitude, the gratitude attitude. I have a breathing exercise you could do also. Breathe in the gift of the breath of life, which is the constant presence of air, oxygen, and then breathe out gratitude and thankfulness for the air, for oxygen, for breathing. If you delay giving thanks until everything is the way you want it, you might never get to give thanks, let alone feel grateful. Practice giving thanks until you have it, feel it. Then give thanks. Giving thanks will bring you into the present. The greater your gratitude, the fuller and more joyful, comforting and comforted is your present. Folks, if you want to hear this or want someone to hear this show, it'll be on my website later this morning, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Or if you've got something you'd like me to talk about, write me at drhalgreen@gmail.com. drhalgreen@gmail.com. God bless you. Enjoy the great gift of life. Peace.
This is your home in the country. KWPC, K23 6CF, Muscatine. KWPC.